Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Journalist Robin Wright will join us to talk about whether there is ever an end to terrorism. But we have news this morning out of Washington about indictments and arrests. And we're turning to the political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken. Good to talk to you this morning.
Good morning, Carrie.
If you have questions for Ken about the developing news and the political implications this morning, I don't know how much Ken knows about the legal implications, but he can certainly talk about the politics. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at CarrieNPR. Ken, Paul Manafort and his associate Rick Gates have been charged with conspiracy to launder money. Overall, it appears they face 12 felony charges. Does this look to you to be more focused on Manafort's activities through his lobbying firm, or does it potentially spill into his work as Trump's campaign manager in 2016 and this Russia investigation?
Well, that's a very fair question, and I think the uncertainty is in the latter part of your question. Clearly, the former part of your question regarding his business activities, his lobbying activities, that seems to be what the indictments are all about. And, of course, the Trump White House will say that this has nothing to do with them. They have nothing to fear about what Manafort will say, ultimately will say. But, well, of course, we know that Robert Mueller, the special counsel, has been investigating potential Russian collusion with Trump campaign officials. And of course, Paul Manafort for several months in 2016 was the Trump campaign chairman. We also know that he met with some Russians last year trying to get information or scurrilous information about Hillary Clinton. So if you want to talk about collusion and the potential of what Paul Manafort could bring to the table, that's a possibility. But right now, the indictments seem to be only about his business activities.
Yeah, let's talk for a moment, though, about that meeting you just mentioned, because there's still a lot of unanswered questions about that. And again, that's not what this indictment involves, but it is something we can presume investigators are examining. Donald Trump Jr. at this meeting with Manafort at Trump Tower with a Russian lawyer who is closely connected with the Kremlin, basically a representative of Vladimir Putin's. There must be concern about within the president's family that these initial charges are getting pretty close to the president's closest circle because of the kinds of meetings that we've just talked about.
That's absolutely true. And I suspect that that's one of the reasons Donald Trump has been on a Twitter tirade in the past couple of days, actually in the past 24 hours, talking about, well, it's Hillary. We have to do something about Hillary, that about the sale of uranium and what James Comey did. And so the president tweeted in the past 24 hours a nonstop thing of talk about distraction and deflecting, talk about what the investigation should be about is Hillary Clinton. But clearly the president has to be concerned the fact that, as you say, Donald Trump Jr., Paul Manafort, and others met with this Russian woman last year who was offering, matter of fact, and Jared Kushner as well for a few minutes. And in the subject line in the email that invited them to this meeting, it said potential, I mean, it's like it was done on purpose, potential damaging information about Hillary Clinton campaign. So to say that they went to this meeting talking about adoption or whatever, cockamamie story they came up with, obviously is not true. But again, you know that Robert Mueller is investigating the possible collusion. You know that he was trying to pressure Manafort, or one assumes he was trying to pressure Manafort into revealing something incriminating about the Trump team. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, the fact that this indictment came through makes me think that maybe Manafort was not spilling the beans ratting, and maybe that Mueller had no choice but to push through this indictment, but not getting what he wanted.
You know, I don't know, Ken, though, when you read the details of some of what he's alleged to have done, 30 shell companies, I mean, really complex financial alleged shenanigans here. You're not suggesting that he might not have had to be held accountable for that if he had given the government, if he has any dirt about the Trump campaign in Russia.
Well, who knows? And of course, a lot of his deals were with pro-Russian business interests and
right.
political interests in Ukraine. So obviously, there's a connection with some kind of a connection, one assumes, between Manafort and the Kremlin. But again, does it tie in the Trump campaign? There's no evidence of that, at least as of this moment.
Let's talk about this dossier, because President Trump was also tweeting about this late last week. This dossier that we learned about during the campaign has an interesting genesis to it, doesn't it? These were opponents of the president's during the primary season. So other Republicans who were paying for dirt to be dug up on,
research, right.
on Trump, right? Okay, how does this
right,
work?
Exactly right.
Ken, explain how this works.
Well, opposition research is done by every campaign, and if you don't do that, you neglect it at your own peril, because you need to know, I mean, in the dirty world of politics, you need to know what you can use against your opponent. So there was this firm that was hired by a Republican company that wanted to get, ostensibly, tried to get dirt on Donald Trump during the campaign. A lot of people think that the firm was either associated with Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio.
Okay.
Those two campaigns have denied that. So then they gave up on that as it became clear that Donald Trump was going to be the Republican nominee. And then Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC also paid for the same to the same company, try to get information as well. But this dossier, now the Clinton campaign says, and the DNC now says, that they had no idea what was in the dossier. They had no idea about the salacious allegations that were there, that I think it was BuzzFeed. Was it BuzzFeed? I think it was BuzzFeed or one of those websites that published some of the more salacious information last week about Donald Trump's personal behavior when he was in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, basically, it was a lot to do with what connections that Donald Trump had with Russia, and what Russia was trying to do to help Donald Trump and hurt Hillary Clinton. It was put together by a former British intelligence officer by the name of Christopher Steele. And again, it has not seen the light of day, but those in the intelligence community, or at least formerly in the intelligence community, who are willing and able to talk about it, says that a lot of it has been corroborated. Of course, a lot of it has not as well, including the more salacious details. But Trump and the Republicans are focusing on the fact that Hillary, crooked Hillary, and the Democrats paid for, or at least tried to pay for, this information, whereas others will say it doesn't matter who paid for it. The fact is, if Russia was working with the Trump campaign, that's the bigger headline.
I want to make sure when people hear you say crooked Hillary, you're using the language
yes.
that President Trump uses in speeches and on Twitter. Ken Rudin is with us. We're sorting through the news out of Washington this morning about these indictments and arrests of Paul Manafort and an associate. Of course, you'll remember that Manafort was the campaign manager for the Trump campaign in 2016. And we're also talking about some of the things the president's been talking about via Twitter about this dossier. 651-227-6000. If you have questions for Ken about politics, the political implications of this, or other questions, maybe about tax reform, 800-242-2828. And on Twitter, at @KerryNPR. Here's Eric on Twitter, Ken, who asks, could Trump just pardon Manafort and stop the whole process? I don't think he could stop the process, could he?
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly that. Yes, he can certainly pardon Manafort. I mean, we've seen presidential pardons of people in midst of investigations for the longest time. I think of, you know, President Bush and Caspar Weinberger, for example, who was investigated for Iran-Contra, things like that. Yes, he could pardon Manafort, but does it stop the investigation? Nothing short of a firing of Robert Mueller, it seems to be, would stop this investigation, because ostensibly one thinks that there are other keys to this investigation. But I still think that Manafort was, from the beginning, from the moment his apartment was raided last July by the FBI, you knew that Mueller was going after Manafort. I suspect, but again, this is just conjecture, I suspect that he didn't get what he wanted to, and hence this indictment today.
We have a question here from Kevin, who asks, don't you think there would be charges versus Trump? I think he means against Trump. By now, if there were any to be had, what should we make of there being none a year into it? Well, we're not a year into it. Mueller was just appointed when, Ken? Like spring? Summer?
In the spring, exactly. Yeah. You know, I've heard that question a lot, and it's a very fair question. And you know, Kerry, you know what's coming up, right? An allegory with Richard Nixon.
Uh-huh.
And the point is that, what's the show with Ken without Nixon? But the investigation into Watergate, I mean, remember the break-in was June of 72. The Saturday Night Massacre wasn't until October of 73. The Supreme Court didn't rule until the summer of 74, and that's when Nixon resigned. So I'm not saying that it's the same exact thing, but for those to say that, how come we, if we didn't get it by now, we're not going to get it, that's not true. Mueller only began this serious work in late spring, and we'll see. There may be nothing there, and the White House insists there's nothing there. And what's interesting to me, I mean, going off a little tangent, the fact that the House Republicans authorized an investigation into, guess what, Hillary Clinton last week because of, you know, the things about the uranium deal and what James Comey did or didn't do. So, you know, Trump has been tweeting over and over again about the investigation should be on Hillary Clinton. And lo and behold, the House Republicans and the leaders on some committees say Hillary Clinton is now the new target.
House Republicans are also releasing the details of their tax reform plan. I know they'll be reporting on that, but it seems like, you know, the week is now going to be devoted to analysis and speculation of what this Manafort stuff is. Means.
Well, that's true, but that won't change the committees, the Ways and Means Committee that's been working on this. And obviously, we don't know anything about it. We keep hearing about deductions that are being taken away, and a lot of middle class people are understandably nervous. We'll get the details, I think, from Kevin Brady of the Ways and Means Committee on Wednesday. And then they hope to, the Republican Congress hopes to pass this by Thanksgiving, which is pretty remarkable.
Can you even imagine that it gets done that quickly? I mean, I think reminded me that the last time they did this, it took almost a year to actually get it through.
11 months. Yeah. And that was 1986, and the reason it hasn't been done since 1986 is because there were so many competing pressures and interest groups trying to fight for this benefit or that benefit. But as Republicans will tell you over and over again, having failed with health care reform or overhaul, this is so important to the Republicans, especially as we approach the 2018 elections. They need something to tell the voters that they've accomplished. And so they will do. And you know, all the dissenters, like the John McCain's and the John Flakes of the world. Jeff Flake of the world. Right. Of the world who've been dissenting from the Republicans on health care. They're all on one page when it comes to tax overhaul and tax reform. So we'll see if it gets done. But if it does, it will be pretty remarkable.
Ken, a question here, because we're going to be hearing, along with the name Paul Manafort, we're going to be hearing the name Rick Gates. And a listener, Deb here, tweets, what's the connection between Gates and Paul Manafort? Specifically, is there something prior to the campaign? And did they join and leave the campaign at the same time? Gates is described as a protege of Manafort's. What else?
Right. That's all I really know at this point. I should have had the answer to that question before the show. But yes,
Gates worked for the
campaign. He's a business partner.
Yeah.
And he's also a business partner of Manafort. And, of course, Manafort is a former partner of Roger Stone, who is, of course, the Trump apologist and defender. So there's a lot of incestual involvement with Manafort and Republican politics. But he was brought on the campaign because he was one of the Republican establishment figures who was going to keep other Republican delegates from fleeing the Trump campaign.
Gates or Manafort?
They brought him on. Manafort.
Okay.
And Gates was his loyal associate. Yeah.
I have a question for you about tax reform. Back to that. Do you remember last week when it seemed like 401ks were on the table, and then the president tweeted that they were off the table, and then the president
yes.
tweeted that they were back on the table, and then yes. other yep. members of Congress were like, no, they're off the table. Is this all negotiating? Is that what's going on kind of in the public sphere?
It is. And once it got out that 401ks were on the negotiating table, Democrats and middle class advocacy groups sent out the alarms. Wait a second, that a lot of people, the middle class will definitely be hurt. The wealthy will benefit. The middle class will be hurt. That led to Donald Trump to put out a tweet. Oh, no, forget it. But don't worry about it. There's nothing's going to change with 401k. And then the Republicans on the Ways and Means Committee told Trump, wait, that's not true, because we've got to get some revenue somehow to pay for these huge tax cuts. So the answer is the short answer to my very long answer is that we won't know until the details are out on Wednesday.
I want to ask you about the Virginia governor's race. I don't know how interested our audience is in this, but I've been watching and I have a feeling you have too. Boy, has that gotten nasty. Does it tell us anything about 2018, depending on what happens with it?
Well, you know something, what it does do, it tells something about the Republican Party. And here's the story. The Republican nominee in Virginia is a guy named Ed Gillespie. He's the former RNC chair, a Bush associate, a longtime establishment Republican. He barely won the primary last June against a very conservative Republican who wanted to put up all the monuments and love the Confederacy. I mean, he was really basically running a pro-Confederacy campaign.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent weeks, Gillespie has become very much pro monument. He's saying good things about Trump that he wouldn't have said before, and so you wonder if there's any connection. And he could very well win. Even the polls show it very close, even though it's the only southern state that Hillary Clinton won.
Hmm.
It's the only southern state
wow.
won, and Trump's numbers are terrible in Virginia. But here's the thing: as we learn from Jeff Flake, as we learn from Bob Corker, You take on President Trump at your own peril. And so Gillespie is learning that maybe the only way to survive is to praise the president, praise the conservative movement, and the move towards the right on the Republican Party. And you may see a lot of that in 2018. Other moderates or establishment Republicans may retire, and there'll be a lot of movement by Steve Bannon and others to make more and more of these campaigns about the establishment versus Donald Trump.
And since all roads bring us back to Manafort today, we should say that what's going on with these indictments, it doesn't look like Mueller is going to be wrapping up the investigation by the end of the year, and that this will continue into the congressional electoral season, doesn't it?
Oh, that's absolutely true. But I will disagree with you on one thing. I think all roads lead to Richard Nixon, as
yeah,
I say every
I might
week.
Have known. Let's just do a Nixon podcast and get it over with, Ken. Can we do
I
that?
I thought that's what we're doing. Four more years of Ken Rutten.
Oh, my gosh. Good to talk to you. Thanks much. Talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Carrie.